This show is sponsored by MyOliveLeaf.biz, MyOliveLeaf.biz, and The Hurricane Report, merchandise, and more.
I just want to say one of my favorite writers growing up was a man named James Baldwin. And I remember Baldwin saying, "You ask my father to wait, my brother to wait, my uncle to wait. How long must I wait on freedom? How long must I wait on rights and equality and liberty?" And as a black child, that resonated with me because I knew I'd been denied and I personalized that. But as I grew, I started to understand poor white people have been denied. Women have been denied. Gays and lesbians, transgender people been denied. Immigrant children been denied. Everybody outside of that 1% has been denied. So I want you to take a few seconds to look to your left and look to your right. Look to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, the time is now. There are more of us. We're stronger. We will wait no longer. The time is now." When you go to that booth next year, I need you to carry in that booth the memory of this room. Black, white, straight, gay, men, female. We are together. We are united. Our time is right now. We will not wait 4 more years. We will not wait 20 more years. We will not wait 2 more presidents. We will not wait 3 more presidents. The time is now. The time is not in the future. The time is not some abstract time. The time is not something that might be. The time ain't something that could be. The time ain't nothing that should be, that would be. It ain't tomorrow. It ain't the day after. It ain't coming next week. The time is. The time is. The time is. The time is. Senator Bernard Sanders will be the next president of the United States of America. Thank you.
That sounded like sure. So much bullshit. Half those people are our goddamn deadly enemy. So why the hell should we be sitting there trying to advance their cause when we are being fronted off by just about everybody on that list? Tell that fool to go get his act together and go get him some shit that's relevant. Quit distracting all those damn children and young folk from the business at hand. Go deal with, start pushing black folk to buy more bang instead of bling, instead of being gangsters and straightening their neighborhoods and community up. Then I might listen to him. Otherwise, he doesn't know crap about what he's talking about. The hell with that. I don't like that.
Radio, DJ. One nation, one station.
All right, guys, right now you're listening to the voice of Valerie Denise Jones. Hope you're having a great day. I hope that you are staying inside protecting yourself, because I love it when we meet each other down in the comment section and, have great discussions. You mean a lot to me, so please, please, please take care of yourself. Meet me on Instagram at Valerie Denise Jones, and also Miss MS Valerie Denise Jones. Recently activated those pages, and I have two because they, quote unquote, they are doing the most to stifle our growth. That's why I have to broadcast on multiple platforms and spread the time out they are doing a lot. I need your support, guys. Please, 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 I need your support. Starting with hit the like button. Tell a friend who will tell a friend about this platform. And as I mentioned before, leave a comment. Friday was amazing. I can't wait to share this audio with you. We had some wonderful people on the line, including attorney Vernon Jackson. Attorney Vernon Jackson is a former football player turned attorney. He's 6 feet tall, 265 pounds. He can bench press 485 pounds. Has a deep, booming voice. I'm getting all of this from Jacksonville.com. Not making this up. So Jackson is a local criminal defense attorney. He and his law partner run a unique mentoring program designed to keep young black men on the right path. That's why I love him to life, because he's doing a lot for our young black boys. All right, guys, versus me talking, why don't we just get started? Here we go.
That sounded like so much bullshit. Half those people are our goddamn deadly enemies. So why the hell should we be sitting there trying to advance their cause when we are being fronted off by just about everybody on that list? Tell that fool to go get his act together and go get him some shit that's relevant. Quit distracting all those damn children and young folk from the business at hand. Go deal with, start pushing black folk to buy more bang instead of bling, instead of being gangsters, in straightening their neighborhoods and community up, then I might listen to him. Otherwise, he doesn't know crap about what he's talking about. The hell with that. I don't like that. Go for it, counselor. You got to
okay. Well, what was the question that you wanted me to start on?
Why do you have the... What's going on between you and whoever that was saying whatever he said?
Okay.
That was Killer Mike, Judge Brown.
All right. Mm-hmm. How that all came to a head was this. I have a black youth empowerment organization that I've been running for the last 10 years. It's not like other mentoring programs or things of that nature, because we take stances that a lot of mainstream society won't take. For example, we teach our boys that the black man is supposed to be with the black woman, not the black man or the white man or the white woman. We also have a gun club that's a part of our organization, so our boys learn how to shoot. We have a fight team. We have mixed martial artists that actually compete and fight in the cage. It's a lot different than any of the average mentoring programs or other stuff that you'll see around the country. And because of that program and a lot of stuff they do, we begin to get more attention on social media as an organization that's doing outside-the-box things. And so one of the people that began to follow our movement was this rapper, Killer Mike. And so he's a well-known artist out of Atlanta. But now he's become more popular for his campaigning for Bernie Sanders. He did it in the last election cycle, and he's one of his main go-to guys in this election cycle. And so what Killer Mike does is he talks about things that need to be done in the community. He owns some barbershops. He talks about black community and building. So a lot of young people look at him as sort of an activist or sort of a positive force. But in BPM, we absolutely despise him because we know what his true nature is. And his true nature is exactly what he just said in that opening speech, is to submerge our issues with other groups that are hostile towards us, which is the worst thing you could ever do. Which Dr. Carl Anderson preaches against this so hard, that you don't mix and merge our issues with these other groups, because it always leaves us at the bottom of the totem pole with every other group, immigrants, gays, lesbians, every other group advancing themselves, and I am still at the bottom of the total pole. Our kids still getting killed. We're still the ones the worst incarcerated. We're still the ones with the worst schools. But we got time to be out here talking about. And then it's false because he says, well, blacks aren't the only ones that have been denied. This group and that group and this group. And what that does is that allows them to wrap, like Dr. Claude says, it allows them to wrap themselves in our suffering that they haven't been through. They haven't been lynched. They haven't been mass incarcerated. They haven't had a drug war declared on them. So that's a nasty trick that liberals do to try to group us in with all these other groups. And so what happened was last night, I was actually doing a live with a real solid brother named Rogue, who's a former special ops person, but he's no patriot or anything of that nature. He's 100% Garveyite, red, black, and green, and he actually teaches firearms courses for black people only. And Killer Mike came into the live. He came on our live broadcast and started commenting in the comments. And people would say stuff like, yeah, Bernie, you and Killer Mike need to work together. And so I said, it's going to come a point where I've addressed them before, you know, passively, but I said it's going to come a point where I'm going to have to be a distinguishing done, because we're not the same. And just because somebody's saying black, if they're out here pushing homosexuals, pushing immigrants, pushing these other issues, that person is not about black people. You're not black specific. You're just a liberal, and you're a liberal enemy. And that's nobody I want to work with or be around or even be compared to. And so after I got done with my life, I said, I'll pull you back up. You say your part. I say my part. So that's how it all came to be.
Sounds like a dialogue and an exchange to me.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, one thing that I pick up, especially on Twitter, is there's this segment that keeps talking about, you can't talk about somebody so-and-so. Well, why not? See, mm-hmm. I'm in my 70s. Bishop, who's listening in too, is. Some of us went through this thing where everybody got excited back in the 60s, and we saw how pimps of the revolution, pimps of the movement, infiltrated informants, agents, provocateurs, sleazes, cowards who wanted to coattail off other folks. They came in and messed everything up. So we can't really get a movement without unity of purpose, but that doesn't mean we support everybody claiming to be a leader, and some of them need to be torn down and exposed for what they're doing. And even if they mean wrong, some of them are going off half-cocked and don't know what the devil they're talking about, and they're spreading nonsense and poison. And the last damn thing we need to do is to ally ourselves with this gay thing, because they'll just take us down because they're anti-family, and we've got enough problems that come around from destruction of the black family. See, and also the destruction of masculinity. And if we had more masculinity, not less, black folk wouldn't be in some of the problems, some of the situations they're in right now. So I agree with you. You did absolutely exactly what you're supposed to do. They're not for black. They are for LGBTQ. One of them's a fake Negro. The other one's a house Negro in the LGBTQ house. And co-traveler. And that's what he's pushing. He's using us as black people to support that, to be done against our interest, and we get nothing out of it. I went along that thing, and you're right about the rest of it, too. I did say that. I've seen it before, many times. And, you know, just because it happened 30 years before somebody was born doesn't mean it didn't happen. And if you've seen it, then you know what it looks like.
Bernie Sanders surrounds himself with black celebrities, and he gets a notable black people, but they can't reach the masses. So Killer Mike did a terrible job in the last election, and he's doing a terrible job now because he can't get the black vote. He can get the black rappers, and these are paid people, though. But every state that he goes to where there's a large percentage of black people, he gets beat to death.
I would agree with that. See, what you have is they are so caught up in imagery that they can't deal with anything but the jackass party. That's a donkey, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Another name for donkey, jackass. Okay, the jackasses do what they do, and their front runner is bench warmer, back burner, bullshit Biden.
Mm-hmm.
So the choice is between Sanders and Biden. Some people see how much of a loser Biden is, but the colored folk can't get off the Demogatic plantation.
Mm-hmm.
And the alternative, if you don't get a jackass candidate, you get Trump for the pachyderms. Trump isn't really one of those elephants. He's what he is. And I think he's been effective, and I think it is so badly needed to have somebody to sidetrack that stupid nonsense we have gotten addicted to, where the president of the United States, instead of being the true executive, acts like he's supposed to be the cheerleader. See, that's like head of state versus chief of state, two different things. That's like the English have the prime minister to run stuff and the queen to be the figurehead. We want our president to be the figurehead and nobody else is in charge, see. So we get somebody in charge. He may not be a good cheerleader. He may not be a good PR person, but you need somebody to do the job. So the choice is between Biden and Trump. But some people see a way, especially with the COVID-19 thing, where the Democratic Party convention has been postponed, the next debate's postponed. What happens is you get an opportunity to get influence. So the Sanders component might be swung to make sure that Biden does something like get that fake Negro Kamala Harris.
Oh, lying heifer, quit being an opportunist. You made your career off of jacking black folk up in the Bay Area for your gay friends up there. Come off of it.
It is what it is. So there's manipulation going on behind the scene, and black folk need to get more sophisticated. We've got all kinds of sophisticated hustles we run on each other. I don't know why, with that being the case, we are so nonchalant about understanding other folk run these hustles on us. We don't get it.
I agree.
So, well, why did you get so turned up? What did Killer Mike say to set you off, Attorney Jackson?
Well, his main, first of all, he came on trying to be very complimentary. He tried to give me compliments and try to draw some type of, I won't say alliance, but just being very nice and being complimentary and things of that nature. And my first response was, I can't say the same about you. And so I only wanted to raise two main points. And that was, one, stop lumping us in with other groups and lumping our suffering in with them to advance their cause and leading our people down that road. And number two, stop pushing this homosexuality, because the LGBT, I call it the gender fluidist movement, is one of the primary, if not the primary, destructive forces being used against black people right now. And it's being shoved down our throat. And if you get a black man to say that he wants to be with a black woman and a black woman only, and that's how it ought to be, then he's going to get called homophobic, transphobic. They made the word transphobic. He's going to get torn down, might lose his job if he speaks out for the black family the way it's supposed to be. But with Killer Mike, just like that clip you played, anybody that's going around praising James Baldwin is pushing the LGBTQ movement. Anybody that's going around praising Bayard Rustin or Audre Lorde or any of these people, the reason they're bringing up their names is because they can say, these are great black people who fought for us that were gay. Bayard Rustin said out of his own mouth that now, in modern times, you don't judge America by how it treats black people. You judge America by how it treats homosexuals. And Bayard Rustin is the guy that was arrested in the car having sex with a bunch of white boys back when we were supposed to be helping the so-called organized civil rights movement. His intention, their intention, Gay Philip Randolph. These people, you had Bayard Rustin and Gay Philip Randolph that conspired against Marcus Garvey. They don't like alpha males. They don't want, they call them hotep. The word they're calling them now is hotep niggas. They don't like black alpha males that lead and do what they're supposed to do. And my point was to get the people to understand to stop doing what Killer Mike is doing and trying to lump us in with that whole movement. And I quote that he was fighting on the side of his back and side with Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam back during the 60s with his interview. He said, and so he brought up James Baldwin. He kept trying to push this. He was talking in this liberal, democratic, proletariat, Marxist, communist, socialist bullshit that Bernie Sanders likes to speak. He likes to call himself a democratic socialist. So Killer Mike was talking about how he wants to advance the whole proletariat, not just black people. And that pissed me off, because that's not our job. Whether it's communism or capitalism, it's still going to be white supremacy. So that doesn't concern me. That's one of the big things he was pushing. And also pushing the whole, pushing the James Baldwin thing. That really got me angry. And then those are basically the main points. And the video is going to be available. My son is up. It was just taking too long to upload. But it'll probably be done by tonight. It's taking a long time to upload to YouTube on this phone.
Make sure you get that to me so I can include this in the audio. Please do that. Judge, I'm sorry.
Counselor, I agree with you. Let me say this. There is any common cause between all of the ethnic groups in this country that ought to be in place, if there is. It should be opposition to this LGBTQ poison that is destroying the family and the concept of masculinity as that applies to ways of approaching things. The rest of it, when you attempt to lump this in, reeks of propaganda I studied more than 50 years ago at UCLA under a Russian professor who was head of the propaganda arm for the NKVD, which was the predecessor of the KGB, highest ranking woman on the Soviet Politburo at the time, a visiting professor emeritus from the University of Moscow. What I learned as a teaching assistant for that person is that what you're doing is you are taking some icons who have some very negative characteristics. You're bringing them back up. You're creating a myth around them so the youth will get attached to the myth. And then once they accept the myth, they may start going along and being friendlier for the underlying negativity, if that's what you're trying to push. Now, Byron Rustin was one of the worst enemies of the black movement we had going. He ranked King out so badly by some of the things he got King to do, it's pathetic. Now, if we have common cause, somebody should be saying white folk, black folk, brown folk, yellow folk, we should have common cause to get the family back together and stop these sickos from destroying it any further. Now, that said, we don't have common cause with any of those people in there because they exploit us. We have had the Civil Rights Act in effect for 56 years, and ain't nobody done a damn thing under it that they ought to do, and now they want to all of a sudden pack on 56 years worth of what they should have been doing to deal with a staunch contributor to this country's circumstances and prosperity, and they're giving it on some people because they got guilt trips about their brother, their daddy, their uncle, their son, somebody they know that they didn't raise right or didn't get raised right, likes to stiff one up his butt or likes to get down on his knees and taste the rainbow after he's felt it from behind. Now, that's what we've got going on here. Now, I don't care about folk who are homosexuals if they keep it in their bedroom like everybody else does what they do sexually. Because you said, we need special privileges because we like to do it doggy style. You know, like, what the hell? How in the devil does how you have sex have anything to do with what your status in life is supposed to be in this world? It doesn't, but you see, it becomes an identifier. It becomes a qualifier. It becomes an initiation into a group that's pushing a lifestyle of we don't really care about all of the things that humanity has been about because we hate ourselves and we think we've been left out, so we hate back, so we hate ourselves, we hate what we want to be, so we hate everything, let's destroy everything. Well, Mother Nature's been working for 3.8, maybe 4 billion years on this planet to deal with what happens between boys and girls. That's Boys and Girls 101A. And these fools are running around trying to destroy it. See, every homosexual doesn't do that. Some of them are just quiet, and they understand they got to be here, and that requires Boys and Girls 101A or B. But these fools are just trying to take everything down. They are into deep self-hate. And what they call Gay Pride Month or Gay Pride Week is not pride. It's just glorification of dysfunction and disgusting, inappropriate behavior, running around with your dick out, your butt cheeks out, got on some leather chaps,
and you think that's supposed to be the way of showing pride. This is a burlesque show. Every homosexual doesn't do that. Some of them are just quiet, and they understand they got to be here, and that requires boys and girls 101A or B. But these fools are just trying to take everything down. They are into deep self-hate. And what they call Gay Pride Month or Gay Pride Week is not pride. It's just glorification of dysfunction and disgusting, inappropriate behavior. Running around with your dick out, your butt cheeks out, got on some leather chaps, and you think that's supposed to be the way of showing pride. This is a burlesque show. Because you don't have sense enough to have any decency or nothing else to do. And that's what we're getting corrupted to be. And anybody that's sitting, and see, he's even pimping Sanders. See, Sanders has not said much about the gay cause compared to most of these other jackass candidates, meaning Democrats, Demogatics. They have been pushing it for years because they are practitioners. Obama was a practitioner. You got Biden 45 years ago. There were all kinds of tales about him being a practitioner who could get along with the Southern group. You had Hillary. She came out the closet back in 67, but they put her back in. So you got all of these, and Cory Booker, and their little buddy down there, Gilliam, that got busted with fecal material and stuff on the bed where he was up in there with all the naked boys, and somebody OD'd one of his boyfriends. You know, this whole thing, this pattern of conduct, your local politics are screwed up because too many Republicans and Democrats are literally in bed with each other on a boy, boy, girl, girl basis. And it certainly screwed up the national scene. It's no longer the Black Caucus. It's the LGBTQ Black Chapter Caucus, you can put it that way. So, I mean, it's like we've got to take control of this. That's just a distinct minority of the country. They took over the media, the print, the television and motion picture industries, the magazine industries, and in those select positions, they can propagandize everybody. That's why they've got these trannies talking to these children. The children, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, don't understand sex. They and boys dressing up like girls because boys try to put on mama's high heel shoes. But usually a healthy, decent mother would say, boy, get those off of you. That's a girl thing. You're a man. But then you get Halle Berry on TV putting herself out there saying she's so proud that a six-year-old boy can walk in heels better than most girls that age. Oh, that's sick. I was about to give her a pass after her showing in John Wick where she could actually shoot. Okay, fine, sister. And she comes out with that stupid thing. But anyway, see, this is what they've been pushing. So these kids see boys dressed up as girls, and that's the entry stage into this whole thing. And when you condition a child, it's damn near impossible to talk him out of it when he's 14. And if you don't believe it, Bishop, if you're still there, one example of it for some say good purposes, mama telling child, if you don't go to church on Sunday, you can't go anywhere the rest of the week. Why? Because they want to condition you to be a good Christian before you get to the point where you're going to think about it. Well, that's what they've been doing with this gay tranny. Well, not gay, tranny reading hour. That's what they're doing, conditioning these children. Because you can't tell, you can't bring a boy in and say, I'm gay. Or can't bring a woman in and say, I'm lesbian. They go, huh? What's that? Well, it's homosexuality. What? Homosexuality? Well, teacher, what's sex? You know, what's sexuality? See, but they can explain that. So they're trying to do the same thing to these children. And they're influenced by parents who don't know what the hell being a parent is. And they're looking for clues because they're trying to be trendy rather than being effective. So, I mean, this nonsense that you get this character into pushing this poison just because it in Hollywood, I can tell I'm blackballed. They need to have me back and doing another show. It'd be good for their money, but they don't want it. because I'm blackballed because I don't push that poison. See, he's pushing that poison, and I can guarantee you that will get him 3 or 4 recording deals, 2 or 3 upgrades on his contracts next time they come up, and a lot of doors open for him because he does it. Because the people who are opening the doors, bending over to get where they got, getting down parting legs, and they need their legs parted, and they're munching the beaver, munching the carpet. They're tasting the rainbow, feeling the rainbow, and they've got cousins, and they've got brothers, and sons, and grandsons, and daddies who weren't raised right, and they're trying to get over the shame by taking away the onus. See, that's screwing the rest of us. I'd like to hear the bishop and lawyer discuss this.
Attorney Jackson, your mic, I had to mute you for a second because you got background noise. And also, Bishop, your mic is live.
Yes, this is Bishop. Really, this shows the moral decay that this nation is coming to. Judge Brown is so right. I mean, why is sexuality such a primary concern? I mean, I'm heterosexual, and I'm proud of it. But, I mean, when it comes to my opinions, my stance on things, my beliefs, even religious beliefs, it's not predicated on my sexuality. That should be something that's private. That should be something that is between me and my partner, whoever that may be. It should not be this should not be the identifying part of my life. That's my private part of my life. And what's happened is that homosexuality has become the center stage of everything. You can lose your job. You can lose your reputation, your career, your success, your money, you know, your prestige in this society if you say anything against the homosexual community. I'm not here to talk about the morality of it all and whether it's in the Bible and all of that. That's neither here nor there at this point. My point is that why should it be such a primary concern in society? Why should it be the measuring rod, whether you are liberal, whether you are open-minded, whether you're conservative, whatever the case may be? Why is it all predicated on how you treat or how you think about this sexual preference life form? And I think that we have gotten to a place where, you know, I look at Rome, I look at other nations of antiquity, Sodom and Gomorrah, other places, Greece, and other kingdoms and empires that had a lot of power, a lot of prestige during their time. And because of the immorality, the debauchery that took over the society, those empires, those nations now are part of the past. Rome's a small little city and a small little nation. It's certainly not an empire like it once was. Greece now is a small nation on the Mediterranean. It's not the world power that it once was. And you look at why it lost its power, why it lost its prestige. Oh, yes, there were some political aspects to it, but a lot of it was the social decay that overcame these nations, these empires, and made them into third-rate, fourth-rate, and even in some cases, non-existing nations. There's no such place as Sodom and Gomorrah anymore. So our nation has to look at itself in terms of what it holds priority. We can't teach our children about things of God, whether it be through the Quran or the Bible, but we can teach them about homosexual partners and transsexual partners and other things like that. We can read those things to our children, but you can be your license can be revoked if you're a teacher. Your certification can be revoked if you're a teacher or a professor if you try to bring religion into it. But we've made these things almost equal to religion. They become our new religion. They become our new standard. They become our new morality, or should I say immorality. I think if you keep things where they need to be, and they need to be in your own home, in your own room, in the place where you have your relationship with your partner, wherever that may be. It should not be a part of society in terms of politics, in terms of your career, in terms of your status within society. That should not be determined by what your opinion is on homosexuality.
All right, guys, we are down to the last 7 minutes, and I do want to touch back and see if the panelists have got anything to say within the 1 to 2 minute window that I can give. But Attorney Jackson,
quick comment.
Sure. Yes, sir.
This same group that wants to silence you for your putting their freak stuff down in the name of decency ought to first to bad mouth everybody else for the food that you eat. They say, you know, bad food will hurt you. Well, bad practices will hurt you too. Good for the goose, good for the gander, you know?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Attorney Jackson, you got a lot of background noise, so I keep muting your mic. But if Killer Mike was listening, what would you want him to take away from this conversation?
If Killer Mike was listening, I mean, I wouldn't say anything different than I said last night. But it doesn't make a difference because his ideology is off. He's profiting from it. So nothing I'm saying, even if I can show him how this gender fluidity movement is the number one thing destroying the black family structure, and the black family is our last defense mechanism, he's not going to buy into it. He believes you can be a homosexual and be pro-black and be black and proud and still be, that's his belief. So I wouldn't say nothing to him. I done said what I had to say.
I wanted to ask you guys, he lives in Atlanta. Do you guys think that maybe, you know, you succumb to certain ideologies when you live around certain things?
Yeah, I guess that's strong. If you live there, that's the way they swing. And, you know, I've got another thing, too.
If they're all in the same area, maybe it's normal for Killer Mike, you know, it's become a norm.
Well, yeah, they get...
So maybe that's why he's smitten with the whole reality.
You're exactly right, Ms. Valerie. There are places in the country where this LGBTQ Skittles crowd gets this instant feedback that says you're okay. So they put it out on the media, and we bring it in our living rooms, on our television sets, or on our devices, and it says it's okay. So that is what the process is to get somebody's mind warped. Now, I always knew something, too. If somebody was pushing something on you, there is a good chance that what he's pushing on you is something that he likes to do or she likes to do, all right?
So when How did I know you were going to on, take it there? I knew that.
They don't know because they did. But you see... They want you, like Misery loves company, Freak loves company too, Weird loves company, a pervert likes other perverts. So you get people pushing stuff they do hoping you'll like it. See, women come up and tell me how often some woman, you know, they want a conference and, you know, they'd been there for 2 days and down in the bar, one of the women with the company started saying, you know, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, and then they said, wait a minute, what the hell are you talking about? What made you think I would swing that way? See, they always push to try. Just like a guy sits there and says, I don't know if she'll speak back to me, but excuse me, my name's so-and-so, how you doing, what's your name? You know, I was checking you out, you know, blah, 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 blah. See, they push that. So when
gotcha.
You get somebody pushing that gay thing, I'll bet you when they push it, 9 times out of 10, they tried it. Because that LGBTQ, that Q stands for questioning, in other words, what's it all about, and queer. On their own site, they put that. It's got two meanings, questioning and queer. Those who are lesbian, those who are gay, those who are bisexual, those who are trannies, and those who are questioning or have questions about it, want to try it, and those who, oh, yeah, I guess we are queer, aren't we, type.
Judge, I think sometimes people just sell their soul for money. You know, they may or may not be gay, but they support it because it's, you know, it's a certain
couch.
Lifestyle.
Casting
yeah.
couch.
Well,
you get the part because you got
right.
on the casting couch. That's what they do. That's still big.
All right. Judge, we got about 5 minutes. I want to circle around. Attorney Jackson, you got a lot of background noise. Are you driving?
Yes.
Yeah. So, real quick, if I could just hold you captive for about one or two more minutes, what do you want people to take away from today's episode?
Well, if I had one thing, I would want our black women to understand how devastating this LGBTQ gender fluidity anti-masculine movement is going to be for them. Because if you, our black women already have a scarcity of strong, good, productive black men to choose from. Our ranks and our numbers of black men have been decimated already by the war on drugs and felony convictions and black-on-black violence. Our women already have a scarce population pool to choose from. And if you're going to have more and more black boys that want to grow up and be black women instead of having a black woman, and if you're going to have more and more black men who want to be laid up in a house with another man instead of in a home with a woman raising a family, the one that's going to be left out last on the bottom is the black woman. And that's why they're pushing swirling, they're pushing everything they can to give the black woman some alternative to the black man, and they're pushing everything on the black man to keep him from being a man. So I see a lot of our women, they like to share the videos with the guys dressed as girls trying to be funny. You got black men running around with wigs doing the Tyler Perry stuff trying to be funny. And the women are laughing and supporting it and just thinking it's great and it's entertainment when it's destruction. And I just need our women to wake up, because even if a black alpha male like me says something, I get attacked by black women when I'm sticking up for the black woman, saying he shouldn't be imitating a woman, he should be protecting a black woman. So anyway, if I had one thing that I could get out there for the sisters to wake up and stop embracing this and accepting it and thinking it's just entertainment and look at it for what it is going to leave them at the bottom of the barrel.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much. Can you shout out your contact information, please? Because I'm about to go around the board and then get Judge's final word.
I'm on Facebook as Vernon Jackson, my regular name. I'm on Instagram as Attorney Awesome. And my email is attorneyawesome@gmail.com. And, you know, we're doing our work year-round with our youth empowerment. And so anybody who wants to be a part of the contribute, they can do that tax-deductible. Cash App, BPM, the number for life.
Thank you. Appreciate you so much. And I will hit you up via text to see if I can't get that audio from you so I can include it in the final edit. But please be safe. Please be safe. And social distancing is the new norm. So, do what you got to do. Stay safe, all right? Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, and it's nice talking to you, Judge.
Yes, sir, Counselor. My pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, everybody. That was Attorney Jackson, and also Philo the Great is streaming live on Facebook, guys, so please leave messages in the comments section. Judge, real quick, because I'm going to let you have the final words. I'm going to see if any of our panelists, because they were gracious enough to give us some of their time today. 614-218, I apologize. I've only got about a minute or so to give you. But is there anything that you'd like to say regarding Killer Mike, Attorney Jackson, and the conversation Judge had?
Oh, well, I'm just absolutely blown away by what I heard in that last section. And I mean, there's a lot of things I would like to address, but first and foremost, I mean, if we're here to educate, I think a great place to start would not be by calling children names, no matter how you might agree or disagree with their parents' way of handling their process or growing up pains in life. Like, calling children names just seems completely inappropriate in an educated conversation.
All right. Thank you. I have to listen to the audio because I'm not sure what you're talking about. Is there someone who said that during this show? Or?
We don't call children sissies.
They're sissies when they're sissies. We got told that all the time. Coaches, the principal, your parents, uncle, men at church, and boy, don't act like no sissy. Say, you sissy something? You got on pink frilly drawers or something? Act like a man. Sissies are sissies.
Call it out. He needs to change it. This body shaming and shaming stuff is a good thing. Shame and embarrassment are great tools to get people to conform to decent standards as adults. Children, too.
And all homosexuals. Like, I was listening earlier.
I'm not bad-mouthing all homosexuals, just the one that want to get out there and try to dictate the politics and the social phenomenon to deal with you on the basis of their weird stuff.
Again, with the weirdos and all of the various different name-calling in it, that's what I was trying to address, as I'm sure you have your opinions on
name
it.
Name-calling is a good thing. People. It's a good thing. We grew up, I grew up in elementary, junior, and high school. We ran the dozens on each other. Everybody did that.
You're hypocritical within your own statements. In your own, literally within one sentence, you say they should keep it in their homes. But then the same gentleman that said they should keep it within their homes identified the fact that he was heterosexual. Nobody provoked that. Nobody asked him his sexuality. But for some odd reason, he felt we needed to know.
I'm a human. I've got two arms, two legs, two eyes, one nose, one mouth, two ears. Maybe I lost one of those, but that's the way I was born. If you were born without that, you're not normal. If you just spout normal, that's fine. If you have something that didn't come with this design of Boys and Girls 101A, then that ain't normal. So, I mean, where did we get this thing where you can't talk about somebody's abnormalities? Like,
but
they don't
exist.
What does
that have to do with decency? You said if they're decent.
It's decency
people.
When you start advocating degenerate behavior.
Degenerate behavior. And it's conducted.
Degenerate behavior. Yes, that's degenerate.
Well, I mean, if we're going off of biblical terms, wouldn't anybody tasting the rainbow be kind of performing degenerate behavior? You're not. You have no interest with heterosexuals that perform degenerate behavior.
I have an issue with them performing degeneracy as well, too. Everybody ought to conform their conduct to the standards of decency, politeness, and mannerability. Sometimes there's a necessity to be harsh about how you condemn things. When I was on the bench, they called it the allocution, A-L-L-O-C-U-T-I-O-N. It was the responsibility and obligation of the judge to denounce a miscreant and display the ire of the community and the sense of outrage at the violation of the law.
Right, but there's no possible way that you can say that the largest harm to the black family is gay families when at the
end
of the day...
It is. What black family? We're destroyed by all of this nonsense saying it's all right not to have a family.
And they were
Where do you think this came from?
They were saying that well before they were promoting anything in regards to gay rights.
They started it off about 55 years ago.
They were taking black men out of the black culture well prior.
Not before they started it. I heard this in college. I graduated from UCLA in 1969. I heard it before then. Started hearing it somewhere around 1964, 65 when them hippies got to getting it on up there at Freedom Park in San Francisco, San Francisco.
Okay, I'm going to let you guys continue talking. Hold on one second, Ms. Scott. I'm going to let you continue talking. We're just going to run the clock out. Guys, forgive me. That's very unprofessional on my end because this is the end, but I'm going to let them continue their conversation. Thank you so much. Gesture Brown Show, 929-477-1167. This is Valerie, and we're signing out. Guys, you are now welcome to continue the conversation until the clock runs out.
Well, you know, it's you're entitled to your opinion. It's America. It's got free speech, First Amendment. I have my position, and in that context, I think mine's right and yours leads to public degeneracy. You see, if you start saying this kind of deviant behavior is okay, then people start saying, well, I can do it. You say, no, it's dumb. It's bad, and you start talking about it like it is in the context of what it does for the bad or the harm that it does to society, then people will get the idea it's not okay. You get a bishop still listening, he'll know this. Some preachers get up in church and start saying sin's all right as long as you behave. No, that's not all right. You got to behave too.
Today's show is sponsored by My Olive Leaf. Please visit myoliveleaf.biz to shop for olive leaf extracts, which will assist your efforts to transform your life. Detox your body, increase your energy, get restful sleep, and rid your body of antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal properties. Do not delay. contact the MOL reps today. Please visit myoliveleaf.biz for their full line of olive leaf extracts and moringa products. Oh yeah, for those of you who would like a personal consultation, please call the MOL reps at 612-567-3263. Also visit their website and social media pages for the latest on sales, new releases, and more.
The Hurricane Report. Go to our website, h-report.news. Go to h-report.news. Take action.
The Hurricane Report. Write it, take action, maintain freedom.
Buy their gear. Socks, mugs, hoodies, leggings. They got all kind of stuff, right? The Hurricane Report.